take that back now. I know some things about them, Rod. Oh, don't want to put that on them, do we? Well, good evening. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I've rejoiced all day long. I feel like a burden's off of me since last Sunday night. I was burdened before I told you folks what I told you. Now the burden's on you. And if you don't do anything about it, I was talking with a preacher friend of mine this week, and he said, "Brother Larry, you know they're not going to listen, don't you?" I said, "How long you think I've been preaching? I didn't start last night. I know the majority will not care, will not listen, until it falls in on your head, and when it does, and I hope you understand that the decisions that are being made in Washington, I'm telling you, I could train my peacocks to make better decisions. And I promise you, they're hard to train. When we take down our strategic reserve, most people don't even know what that word means. But that means that if we happen to have to go to war, which we may, then our fuel supply has dwindled to where now we are extremely vulnerable. And of course, naturally, they're blaming everybody but Biden for the price of fuel going up. Oh, yeah. Now, if you believe that trash, then somebody dropped you on your head and you was a baby, and somebody just didn't pick you up more than five times. That's not my subject tonight. I need to get back to this study in 1 John. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to begin our reading with verse 12. I want you to stay with me tonight now. I know you like to, when the preaching's going on, you like to kind of wander off out yonder somewhere and mow your lawn in the morning and wonder if your coffee's going to be hot enough to drink and so on and so forth. Let's kind of stay with it tonight for a few moments, will you? If you'll stay with me, I'll try to hurry. But if I see you loafing, I'm going to hang a while. Verse number 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That is of the utmost importance. Herein know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Yes. Father, bless our efforts tonight. As your servant, we offer ourselves. But your Spirit must speak through us. May He do so tonight in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. And I, just for my own information, I dug out about four specifically, and then I went to another, and it nearly agreed with the Scripture. But four of them had no idea why verse number 12 is in the Bible. They keep trying to say, well, it just doesn't fit there. It's not in the right place. Why would it ever be where it is? Well, it's there because the Holy Ghost put it there. Yes. And for no other reason. But there's a great reason why it is there. if you look at verse number 12 and verse number 17, you see, the Bible always explains itself. If you'll just keep reading, God will explain to you what He said a few minutes ago if you don't understand it. The Bible is one of the plainest books in the world to understand. I promise you that I understand it and understood it far better than I did my algebra book. Most of you did the same thing. My wife, I guess, is the only algebra nut I ever met. She thought it was gravy. Well, none of me. No, sir. Now look at this verse with me, please. No man has seen God at any time. Now why would that come in after verse number 11? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John's emphasis in this book is two things. Love God and love one another. And if we love God, then we're going to love one another. Now he says, there is no visible representation of God in the world today. And the only time there ever was one is when Jesus was here. Other than the Spirit of God that lives inside the believer. Now think about that for a moment. Let's read verse number 12 again. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, if God is dwelling in me, what do you think is going to show out of me? Now look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. How about that? The book says that you and I are the only visible representation of the Lord God in this world. And that is only there when we are loving one another. When the love of God is made perfect in us and we love one another. Amen. Now I'm not going to argue with you as to whether or not the book means loving everybody. I don't believe for a moment that's what John's saying. I don't believe that's what our Lord is saying. I think the truth is we're to love the brethren, loving one another. If nothing else, it is at least to be paramount in our lives. Loving the brethren. Loving those who have the same spirit we have. So the love of God in verse number 12 and verse number 17 is perfected. It shows us. You and me, when we come together, when we shake hands, when a kindred spirit is there, we have love one to another. There was a young man walked in this building tonight. He's sitting back down the back row. I never seen him before, never shook hands with him before, but I met him here at the back of the church, and I shook hands with him. And the instant we shook hands, I knew there was a kindred spirit. Hallelujah. Now that's the kind of love God says is to be in us. And it shows out of us, and others see that, and the love in them shows out of them toward us. Now Paul said we know each other because we have His Spirit. Right?
Yes.
John is saying the same thing. He's magnifying what Paul has already said. Herein is love. And that love is made perfect when we love God as we should and love one another as we're supposed to. The child of God is a lover.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're not all from, is it West Virginia or Virginia?
West Virginia.
We're not all from West Virginia. But as a child of God, we are lovers. We love one another. I'm almost positive that that little phrase doesn't mean the same in West Virginia as it does in the Scriptures. But the truth is, if we love one another as we're supposed to love one another, then this kindred spirit is a part of every meeting we have. It's a part of every conversation we have, whether it be by phone, by electronic mail, or in person. That kindred spirit is there. And it's there because we love one another. Now, most of us don't have any representation of love except that. And that's sad. The generation that came along right after we did, Gary, and even in our generation it was prevalent, really knows nothing of love or knew nothing of love. And the reason we didn't, because we didn't have any real examples of it. The only example we had was that of the physical love. Eros, if you will. That's not God's love. The love of God is agape love. Amen. And that love supersedes everything else, looks beyond everything you've done, and still loves you.
Yes, sir.
Even mama's love is often hindered and hampered because of our disobedience. Oh, mom still loved us, even though we were disobedient. But I wonder, down through the years, how many people I've spoken with that have said, I don't have anything to do with my children. They did this, they did that, and they did the other, and I just don't have anything to do with them. Well, you may as well be a chicken. God help us. When a mother births a child into this world, surely you would think. But do you remember what we read tonight as the service began? Without natural affection. We're living in a world that doesn't know what love is. And they'll never know unless we love one another. Do you know why the early church began to grow as it did? It grew because those people saw the church loving one another. And paying one another's bills and doing things to make sure that all of them had what they needed to get by. They loved one another. And the world saw that. And they began to get inquisitive. And when they did, the Holy Ghost began to prick their hearts. And they began to be a part of the church. But love is perfected when we love one another. So don't ever think God allowed a verse to be put in the Bible that didn't need to be there at that point. Amen. That's pretty obvious to me. John is saying, hey, you're to love one another. Now, no man's ever seen God. So how are they going to see Him? Where's going to be the representation? I don't mind telling you, I'd like to be that representation. Wouldn't you? Absolutely. So here in verses number 12 and verse number 17, this love of God is perfected. Now there were several theophanies in the Old Bible, in the Old Scriptures. And as God appeared to man... Now remember, the Scripture's right. Keep this in mind. The Scripture's right. A theophany is not God appearing. It's Jesus appearing. When it speaks of the angel of the Lord, it's the Lord Jesus in a pre-incarnate situation. When He spoke to Abraham, when Moses stood on the top of the mountain And God was giving him the Ten Commandments. Moses had said, God, I want to see you. And God said, not so. Not so. Ain't no nary never none of such had done it. Won't happen. But, he said, I'll let you see my hinder parts. As I pass by, I'll let you get a glimpse of me. And God put him in the cleft of the rock, if you know the account. And God passed by, and Moses got a glimpse. But he never really saw God. 7 passages in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is a spiritual sense. Not the natural sense, the spiritual sense. So when these passages come up, remember the Bible's right. No man has seen God at any time. But in a spiritual sense, if you've seen Jesus, if you saw Him, then you've seen the Father. Amen. Jesus said to the Pharisees, hey, if you'd known God, you'd know me. But you don't know me because you don't know my Father. Now these are the most religious people on earth. Are you hearing me? The most religious people on earth. And yet Jesus said to them, you don't know God and you don't know me. As a matter of fact, he went on to say, ye are of your father, the devil. Now that's a rough thing to say to religious folks, isn't it? Hey, but he knew their hearts. He knew what was in man. And he read the book to them the way it was. The way it ought to be, isn't it? So the love of God is perfected when people see the Lord God in us. Og Johnson. Jared. Gary. This old fella, actually he was my Sunday school teacher in what we call the card class. And he'd go up to visit my grandfather, great-grandfather, from time to time. And to do so, he had to walk up the road in front of our house. And one day he's walking up the road and I saw him coming and I ran in the house and I said, Mama, Jesus is coming. Now, why did I say that? Because that man had represented the Lord Jesus to this boy. And as a child, I saw Christ in him.
Yes, sir.
These children that are running around here, sometimes running over you, they need to see Jesus in you. You need to love them. Mean or whatever. Hey, you were a child one time. Remember that? Huh? Some of you think you never were a kid, right? Well, you never were a kid, but you were a child. Well, I take that back. Some of you were kids and always will be kids. Hello, did you hear that?
Amen.
If you don't get to Jesus, you'll always be a goat. Say amen right there. But let me just clarify that statement. Goats don't come to Jesus. Goats don't come to Jesus. Sheep come to Jesus. Lost sheep come to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Read your Bible. Don't look at me crazy. Just read your Bible. Do you a whole lot more good than it would for you to come try to fuss with me. Read the book. Verse number 13 and 14. Look at these two. Here, not only have we seen the love of God perfected, but now the love of God is presented. I love these verses. Look at them with me. Verses 13 and 14. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. God's two throne gifts, His Son and His Spirit. The greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your lifetime is God's gift of His Son and His Spirit to you. And I don't have time to argue, and it's not time to argue, but let me just say this to you. When God saves you, you have His Son. When God saves you, you have His Spirit.
Yes.
Every child of God has the Spirit of God living in him.
Amen.
Now, folks, talk about receiving the Spirit. Let me tell you what really happens when that terminology is used. It's God getting more of you rather than you getting more of Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? When God gives the gift, He gives you 100% of the gift. Now the problem is He doesn't have 100% of us. But as we yield to Him, as the Holy Ghost quickens us, and as the Holy Ghost brings us under conviction, and as the Holy Ghost helps us to repent, then we get closer and closer, and the Spirit of God gets more and more of us. Now there is a time of surrender in our lives. I hope all of us have been there. But that time of surrender is when you come to the end of your rope and you throw up your hands and cry to God and say, God, I can do nothing except your Spirit. Do it in me. I was in seminary, Jacksonville, Florida. I don't know what year it was, or what year it was that I was in school. But I'm sure I'd been there at least 2 years. And we were having some tremendous, tremendous services in the chapel. And I was driving home one afternoon, and the Holy Ghost got in that car with me. Now let me tell you something. You think the Holy Ghost won't ride in a Volkswagen? Oh yeah. He got right in there beside of this boy. I mean, we had a conversation, glory to God, all the way to the house. When I got to my office, I pulled up in front of the church, and my office door was down beside the church, the outside door, and I was headed for that door. I was going to go in there and pray, and the Holy Ghost said, oh no, oh no, the sand pile's where you're going. We'd been building, and the sand pile was there, and I dove in that sand pile. So why'd you do that? That's what God told me to do. And there in that sand pile that day, the Holy Ghost empowered this preacher to preach. Empowered me to do what He's helped me to do down through the years. I'd be an empty vessel. I couldn't say anything to you tonight. Oh, I could lecture you. But what good's a lecture? All of us have had enough of that mess.
Yes,
but how could we do anything except the Holy Ghost do it through us? Oh, what a gift.
Yes.
What a gift.
Yes.
And it's in all of us. He, the good Holy Ghost, dwells in every born again believer.
Sure.
Can I say it to you like this? The fuel is there. The flame is there. Put them together. Put them together. When God warms you to His bosom and the good Holy Ghost gives you that that only heaven can afford, you know that love's doing something inside. The singing of truth ought to bless you. The preaching of truth ought to bless you. Folks rejoicing ought to bless you. Down through the years, I picked this little phrase out of a song in our song books. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. You see, I'd been in services where other people are being blessed, and for some reason, my fire didn't get kindled. And so I just claimed those little words and offer them to God quite often. Lord, why are you blessing me and bless me too? Gary and I both have referred to this. But Dad get up in the morning, he'd take his coffee cup and set it in a saucer, and he'd pour his coffee. Pour it till it ran out down over the cup, down into the saucer. And he'd set the cup off to the side, and he'd pick that saucer up and drink it out of that saucer. Hey, you ought to look for the overflow. Glory. I'm going to tell you, the overflow is as good as what's in the cup.
Yes, sir.
Look for the overflow and ask God to let you taste the overflow. If somebody else is rejoicing, Lord, let me rejoice with them.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is the ever-present presence of God in us. And what a blessing it is. What a joy to know that the presence of God is in me, in you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Most of us never catch this. Think about this for a moment. The God of glory, the Creator God of glory, He who is all in all, He is sovereign of sovereign, has chosen to live in us. Why would the sovereign of sovereigns choose to dwell inside these vessels of clay? That's how Paul said it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes.
What a treasure it is.
Yes,
that the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. So the Holy Ghost is perfected. The Holy Ghost is presented. And now look at verse number 15. The Holy Ghost is professed. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at that. God dwelleth in him. And he in God. Hallelujah. Can I say with a truthful heart that God lives in me? Absolutely. Why? Because the book said it.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't mind telling you that it's so. I'll confess before God and before the world, God Almighty, through His Spirit, lives in this boy.
Amen.
Does he live at your house?
Amen.
Does he live in you?
Amen.
You see, he can live at your house and be in somebody else, not in you. Let me give you this. I've said this before, but here it needs to be said again. There is no real love without God in us. There just isn't. People constantly talk about love, love, love. But the real love of God can only be shown by those who have God in them. If you were up here tonight looking back over your faces, you'd be looking, folks, that because of your personality, you're hard to love.
Amen.
But do you understand this? God's love goes by that like a Chevrolet halfway down the drag strip.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The love of God passes by all those little obstacles and loves what's in you rather than what you look like or even what you act like.
Yes.
What love? What love? The confession. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Then He loves you. You know how I know that? Because you can't love Him till He loves you. No, no, no. Often we'll hear somebody say, I love the Lord. Now listen to me. You can say that and not mean it. But you can't do that and not mean it. And the only way you can do it is because He first loved us. Absolutely. I'm going to hurry. The presence of love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Verse number 16. The presence of love. The possession of love, even more so. He that dwelleth in God. He that dwelleth in God. And he that dwelleth in love. It's one and the same, isn't it? If you dwell in love, you dwell in God. And if you dwell in God, you dwell in love. It's one of those circumstances where you just live there. You just live there. What's your address? The love of God. Your spiritual address is the love of God. Now, listen to me. No one who knows God will ever have to ask you that.
Amen.
Did you hear me? That's what I've said for the last few minutes. That's all I've said. No one who knows God Almighty will ever have to ask you what your spiritual address is. They know that you dwell in love. And that you dwell in God.
Yes,
sir. Isn't that something?
Yes.
I mean, if you work, if you play, if you shout, if you pray, if you sing, whatever you do, you dwell in love. When you're fighting with the devil, you're still dwelling in love.
Amen.
When you're fighting with the devil's crowd, you're still dwelling in love.
Yes.
Think with me for just a moment. I'm finished. Listen carefully. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How much love do you have for your neighbor? I'm talking about your spiritual neighbor now. Now, don't you get the wrong idea from what I said previously. The world out there has to see our love. But they'll see it because we're kind to them. Right? I don't want to elaborate here, but I just want to say this. There was a time when I had a temper. I wasn't proud of that. But you didn't have to walk too far on my turf to where I wouldn't ask you to leave. I'd knock you off of.
Amen.
That's my wife. I had no patience with the world whatsoever.
Amen.
I still don't have a whole lot. But I realize that the world is never going to see the Christ of glory in my temper.
Amen.
But they'll see Him in my love for others and my care for them.
Amen.
Please keep that in mind. You can only love because God first loved you.
Amen.
And if God first loved us, and if God so loved us, we surely can love one another. Let's stand together.